Well, all over the world today, people are searching for hope. And one of the incredible things is this: hope looks different in different places at different times to different people. Right now, in one of our territories in San Juan, hope looks a little bit different to them than maybe it does to you and I. As people are trying to rebuild a life in Florida and in places where there was some devastation, hope looks a little bit different. As the area of Houston presses on and begins to try and reestablish themselves and go forward with their life, hope looks just a little bit different. You see, once a tragedy happened, here's what takes place. People like Gleaning for the World and people like the Samaritan's Purse, the Red Cross, and all kinds of other organizations, what do? They flood to a place and they begin to give things that are symbols of hope. And at that moment, a bottle of water is a symbol of hope. Right? Because it relieves something in someone's life. Or maybe a little bit of food is a source of hope, because what they've had has been taken from them. This morning I was listening to reports that are unfolding now in San Juan and talking about how food is a real problem there and people need it. Well, when you need something and you get it, that's almost a picture of hope. Think about this. For some people that lost their homes and they lost something that we might take for granted, a pillow and a bed, so you can get some rest. When a pillow or a mattress shows up, it's almost a symbol of hope. I think we've all been at a place like this before. When we had a greater need in our life financially, and we had bills to pay, and the mortgage was due or past due, and that disconnect notice was breathing down on you, and you're thinking, how am I going to take care of all of these things? Or you look in the refrigerator, and you look in the pantry, and then you look at all the little faces that are dependent upon you, and you say, what are we going to do? And then a little bit of extra money shows up, and for a moment, that's what hope looks like. You see, hope can look like money. Hope can look like food. Hope might look like a pillow. Hope might go ahead and even be a bottle of water. But all of those things are temporary. And one of the tendencies of my life and your life is to attempt to find hope in something that we can grab hold of. But for the past several weeks, we've been talking about hope. And we've been talking about hope not being found in something that we can reach out and grab hold of. We've been talking about how hope has a name. And our theme verse for this series has really been Colossians chapter 1. And I just want to go ahead and take a look at Colossians chapter 1. Because this morning, if hope looks like a bottle of water to you, if it looks like a little bit of food, if hope looks like a little extra money, I want to invite you to reimagine hope. I want to invite you to take a new look at hope and what the Bible really has to say about hope and who it is and what it is. Let's take a look at Colossians chapter 1. Here's what it says in verse number 27. It says this: to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. It says that there's a richness. There's a mystery, a little bit of uncertainty, and people are searching for it and trying to figure it out. And then Paul writes and he says this, which is Christ in you. And then he says, the hope of glory. He says, it's Christ in you, and it's not just a hope for right now, but it's a hope of all eternity. He says, it's Christ in you. That's relationship, but he says this is a hope that just keeps getting better and better and better and better. The hope of glory. It gives us the hope for right now, but it gives us the hope of heaven. And some of us would look and say, John, quite honestly, my life is good right now. I don't know that I need hope. Some might say, you know what, I trusted Jesus and I've asked him to be my Savior and I've said, look, I want to be a Christ follower. I'm not certain that I need hope. Can I tell you today that whether you've already trusted Christ or not, or whether everything is good in your life or not, every one of us needs hope. Because Jesus is the hope for heaven, okay? He's the hope for the forgiveness of your sins. He's the hope to get to heaven. But according to the Word of God, He's the hope that you need for each and every day of your life, no matter what the situation might be. You see, we've talked about how we have that hope that is the kind of planning hope. If everything works according to my plans, things are going to be good. But we all know this, that most of the time, everything doesn't work according to our plans, right? Have you ever had a great plan on paper? And then you get to the other side of that, and all of a sudden you find out it wasn't so great. I remember when I was first starting preaching, I gave a message and my dad heard it and I said, you know, it looked good on paper. I thought that's what God gave me. He said, son, don't blame that on God. Don't even go there, right? It may have looked good on paper. It may have sounded good to yourself. And sometimes plans look great. They sound great, but it doesn't come together as planned. You know, Christ has to be your hope for daily life. And there's a tendency in my life and a tendency in your life to say, I've got hope. I know Jesus. I can take care of some of these things. Well, today we're going to reimagine hope. Because if you're here and you're already a Christ follower, you have the hope of heaven. If you haven't signed up and said, I want to be a Christ follower, you need the hope of heaven. But whether today you need the hope of heaven or not, we all need hope for today and tomorrow. We need hope to get through the difficult situations of life. We need hope so that we can navigate the paths that come up unexpectedly. We need hope so that we can deal with the bad news. We need hope so that we can make the wise decision. We look at a story that unfolds in the book of Luke. And in Luke chapter 18, Jesus is having a conversation with someone who we know as the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler is one who appears to have everything, but in appearing to have everything, we discover that he really has nothing. Why does he have nothing? Because there's one thing that's missing from his life, and it's that word hope. And as we discover that it's missing from his life, and we discover that he's missing hope, we also discover that while he seemingly has everything, a life without hope is empty, and it's really nothing. Let's go ahead and take a look at what unfolds in this conversation. In Luke chapter 18 and verse number 18, verse number 23, it says, now a certain ruler, that's the rich young ruler, asked him, the him is Jesus, saying, good teacher. That's an important word. He says, good teacher. He says, good rabbi. You're different than the others. I recognize there's something different about you. He says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He says, rabbi. He says, teacher. Jesus, I've heard you talking about some of these things, and I've heard you talking about how there's a better way to live. I want to know what I need to do to inherit this thing called eternal life. I want that hope. So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? He says, what's driving that? Why are you referring to me as good? Don't you know this truth? No one is good but one, that is God. You see, Jesus asks a question, and then Jesus comes back and he says, look, why are you calling me good? Don't you know that no one is good but God? Jesus is asking a question, but he's positioning himself right up there with the Lord. He's giving a sign and a hint that he's literally God in flesh, and he's walking around on the earth. He says, you know the commandments, do not commit adultery. It says, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. And here's what the rich young ruler says. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. He says, all those things that you just shared, I've done all of them. I've not committed adultery. I don't lie about people. I don't go ahead and lie on my neighbor. I honor my father and my mother. All of those things. Look, I can just go ahead and list them off. And he says, I've been doing all of these things for a long time. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Verse number 23 says this, but when he heard this, when he heard the words, you've done a lot of things and you've kept all of these things, but here's what I need you to do. I need you to sell all of these things. Then I need you to commit to me. I need you to walk away from all of your goodness. I need you to walk away from all of your confidence. I need you to walk away from all of your wealth. And I need you to go ahead and let everything hinge on me. Here's what happened. He heard it. He became very sorrowful. He said, I can't do it. I just can't do it. He became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Well, let's think about that for just a minute. Jesus answers a question. Jesus answers the question in that passage that the rich young ruler is asking. He says, what can I do to have hope? What can I do to have that eternal life? Now, in the midst of this conversation, there's some things that are there that we need to clue in on. And one of the first things that we need to clue in on is in this conversation is this, that the rich young ruler asks a question. He says, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you know all of these commands, right? And he says, yes, I have done all of those things. Well, here's the truth about the rich young ruler, and here's a truth that is true about you and I as well. Because today, I don't want to go ahead and just place this as the rich young ruler. I want this to be your hope, and I want this to be my hope. You see, here's what Jesus teaches us about this rich young ruler, this guy that seemed to have everything, but according to this passage of Scripture, even though people would say he had everything, he himself felt like he had nothing. Here's the first thing is this, he had goodness, but wasn't good enough. He had goodness, but wasn't good enough. Let's just take a look at that verse just for a moment. We see Jesus say to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And here's what he says. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. You see, the rich young ruler responds, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? There's something missing from my life. I don't feel like I have hope. What was he doing? He was trying to find the answer for hope and the solution for hope in his own way, in his own work, in his own goodness. You see, when it came to the need for hope, he thought, I got this. But no matter how smart he was, no matter how wise he was, no matter what decision he made, there was something that was lacking in his life. And he comes to Jesus and he sees Jesus and he says, look, you are the good one. You're the one that's unique. You're the one that has an answer. And I need you to answer a question for me now. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What do I need to have hope in my life? And Jesus says this. Sell everything you have and come and follow me. This isn't a passage of Scripture about money. This is a passage of Scripture about putting your life and my life in a place where we let everything hinge on Jesus. And one of the biggest struggles for you and for me is getting over our own goodness. One of the biggest battles that we have is coming to a place where we get beyond what we can do, what we can take care of, what we know, and let our hope rest solely in Jesus Christ. For the rich young ruler, he was lacking hope and he knew it. He also understood this, no matter how good he was, it wasn't really going to be good enough. You ever stop to think how good is good enough? I mean, there's a lot of times in our life where we say, oh, that's good enough, right? I mean, it's the neighbor's yard. It's good enough. I've been in ministry for 23 years now, and I grew up going to church. I know how this works. People have a garage sale, and they say, we don't want it, but it's good enough for the church, right? We go ahead and we put good enough in other places. We put good enough there, and we say, okay, that's enough. But when it comes to you and I being able to give ourselves hope, how good is good enough? And the question is this: you and I will never get good enough. Paul says the answer for your life and for my life is Christ in us, Christ in you, Christ in me, which is the hope of glory. That passage goes on to say that once we get Christ in us, here's what happens. Hope begins to strengthen. Hope begins to grow. Hope begins to unfold. And hope gets better and better and better. But here's the tendency for your life and for my life. We begin to imagine hope in something else. We begin to think the thing that we can buy. We begin to think the one that we can lay a hand on, the one that we can reach out and touch, that we can bring into our life and make a part. We think that is the picture of hope. And Jesus says, look, rich young ruler, I want to invite you to reimagine hope in your life. And it starts with this. The answer of hope is not you. The answer of hope is Jesus. And doesn't it make sense that if hope can't go ahead and be discovered on our own without Jesus, prior to following Christ, that we're really not going to go ahead and be the answer for our hope as we continue to follow Christ? Jesus tells the rich young ruler, I need you to let everything rest on me. I need you to clear everything out of the way and let it hinge on me. What would your life begin to look like right now if you begin to lose a little bit of the goodness, to quit looking to what you can do and to your answers and your resources, and you just said, okay, Jesus, I'm going to let it all hinge on you? Because when struggles come, we tend to think that we have the answer. Because this gentleman asked a question, what can I do to have hope? And Jesus says, look, you know the commandments. And he said, yeah, I've done that. I've done that. I've accomplished all of those things. He says, look, I can even go ahead and one-up you on that. I've done all of those things since my youth. But in all of his own goodness, it wasn't enough. You see, Jesus points to the goodness of God. And in pointing to the goodness of God, he's telling him, look, ultimately, your goodness is just not enough. You see, Romans 3:10 says, it's written, there is none, not one, that is righteous. Do you know what that means? That means there's not one that is in and of themselves good. That means whatever the situation is that's unfolding in your life that you feel like you need hope and help with, you and I are not the answer. We need to be an active participant. We need to turn to the one that is the answer. We need to realize that it is Christ in us, the hope of glory, the hope for salvation, the hope for the situation and the circumstance that we find ourselves in right now. You see, we all have struggles in life. Just because you have the hope of Jesus and a relationship with him, just because you have the hope of the forgiveness of sins and the hope of spending all eternity in heaven with him, does not exempt us, exclude us, remove us from the struggles and circumstances of this life. So what do we do when life begins to fall apart? What do we do when tragedy strikes? It's tempting for us to look at things that we can see. It's tempting for us to reach out and grab hold of something else and to say, wow, that's the solution, that's the answer, because I can take care of it, I can lay hold of it. And you know what we're clinging to? ultimately, we're clinging to our own goodness, our own knowledge, our own ability. And here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, until you're willing to let go of that, you're going to lead a very sorrowful life. You see, the rich young ruler walked away sorrowful because he walked away from Jesus. Some of us today know Jesus, and we're walking a sorrowful life that we're not intended to walk when we know him, because we still won't get over our own goodness, our own abilities, the things that we have, the things that we can lay hold of, and truly let everything rest and hinge on Jesus. We look at a second thing that comes out of the rich young ruler. He's one that is consistent and confident, but it wasn't enough. You see, Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. He says, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And here's his first response. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. He says, I've got consistency and I've got confidence running over. But isn't it amazing? Someone that was so consistent and someone that was so confident still had a question. Someone that was so consistent and someone that was so confident still had an emptiness on the inside. Why? Because hope was missing. Hope was missing from his life. Why? Because his own consistency and his own confidence got in the way. Do you know what happens in your life and in my life? Phil Hodges says it this way. He says that our ego creeps in, and here's what happens. It edges God out. The very thing that he was searching for, the very thing that he wanted, he was blocking his path to that, because he says, I've done this, and not only have I done it, I've been consistent in all of those things, and I have done all of those things from my youth up. Do you know what I've discovered in life? Usually some of the hardest people to reach for Christ, some of the hardest people to help in this life are people that come from a good family, that come from a good background, yet they don't know Jesus. Because they come from a good life, and letting them know that they're really not as good as they think they are is a struggle. You take somebody whose life is falling apart, somebody who knows they came from, quote-unquote, the wrong side of the tracks, and they came from nothing, and they look and they say, man, I'm the dysfunctional one, and I need to go ahead and make a change. That person is generally pretty easy to help. But for a lot of us, again, myself included, sometimes we're our own worst enemy, because we look at our goodness. We look at the things that we're confident in. But do you know what Paul says about our goodness? Here's what Paul says, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 4, he says this. He says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, or in what I can do, in my background. He says, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. He says, you can try and one-up me, but I can go ahead and do one better. He says, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He says, I did it all. I memorized it. He says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And the power of his resurrection. We started off and we said, it's Christ in you. Hope has a name. Then we said that the resurrection is the ultimate expression of hope. It's the ultimate realization of hope. It's what hope hinges on. And Paul looks at his own abilities. He looks at all of his qualifications. And here's what he says. He says, you know what? We can go ahead and we can tend to think that we're consistent. And we can tend to think that we can be confident, because we have the answer. And we can come to a place where we can say, I've got this. But the reality is this. Our answer and our hope is not in our confidence and our consistency and what we can do in the things that we have accomplished. The answer for hope in your life and for my life is confidence in Jesus Christ. And sometimes the reason we get in circumstances, the reason we handle circumstances and try and find an outcome and resolve them ourselves in the wrong way is because we become more confident in who we are and what we know than we are in Christ. I'm smart enough to know that in a room this size, that there are people today looking for hope. I'm also smart enough to know that sometimes our tendency when we're looking for hope is to go ahead and rely on what we know and to rely on our own goodness, to go ahead and be confident and say, I can handle this. I can handle the outcome. The reality is this, we can't. In Matthew's account of the rich young ruler, the Bible says that the rich young ruler walked away and he was very sad. When we don't place our hope in Jesus for salvation, we are going to go ahead and miss out for all eternity. But when we don't place our hope in Jesus as a Christian for the daily struggles and the daily answers and look to Him for the daily direction of this life, do you know what we're going to lead? We're going to lead the same description that the rich young ruler led, and it's this, very sorrowful. Very sorrowful. There's a lot of people that are living in situations filled with sorrow. And it's not because they're bad people. It's because there's the temptation to say, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a pretty good Christian. I've got this. That there's the temptation to go ahead and be confident. You see, the rich young ruler had goodness and it wasn't enough. He had confidence, but he wasn't confident enough because he said, look, something's lacking. But the Bible says that he had wealth, but it wasn't wealthy enough. Do you notice the Bible says that he was very rich, yet in all of his richness, he was still empty? It wasn't giving him the answer of hope for daily living. It wasn't giving him the hope that he need. Zig Ziglar says this about wealth. He says, money will buy you a bed, but not a good night's sleep, a house, but not a home, a companion, but not a friend. You see, the rich young ruler on the outside looked like he had everything, but on the inside he was saying, Jesus, what can I do? And Jesus was saying, get over your own goodness. Get over your own confidence. Get over your own resources. Let it hinge on me. Solomon said this in Proverbs 23:23. He said, buy the truth, and whatever you do, don't sell it. He said, and get wisdom and instruction. Do you know what Solomon said? Solomon said, the truth will cost you something. But do you know what the rich young ruler wouldn't do? He wouldn't go ahead and buy the truth because he felt like it was going to cost him too much. And sometimes we'll come to Jesus and we'll trust Him as our Savior and we'll say, I need You to forgive me of my sins and I want You to go ahead and forgive me and save me and I want to spend eternity in heaven with You. But then our tendency is this. We don't want to go ahead and make Jesus the hope for every circumstance and situation in our life. We don't want to make His Word our hope for our marriage, our hope for our life, our hope for our finances, our hope for our job. We don't want to translate it that way because sometimes that means we have to go ahead and give something up. Sometimes it means it's going to cost us just a little bit and we say, I'm going to hold on to it and I'm going to try and work it out myself. Paul said, the answer for your life and for my life is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want to invite you today to realize this, that hope reimagined changes everything. That's it. Hope reimagined changes everything. You see, Jesus is not just your hope for salvation, but Jesus is the hope for your marriage. Okay? He is. Not a counselor, not a psychologist, not a psychiatrist. All of those things have their place. All of those things can help. But ultimately, the answer is Jesus, a Christ-centered hope. Jesus is the hope for your children. Not someone else, not something else, but you lining your life up centered around Jesus and letting everything hinge on Jesus. He is that hope. He's the hope for our families. In every situation, there's a lot of things that can be involved in that, but Jesus is ultimately the hope. It all comes back to Jesus and who he is. He is our hope. The question is this today: what are you picturing hope like in your life? What does hope look like to you? Jesus says, you want hope? Here's what it is. You walk away from everything, and you let it hinge on me. And the rich young ruler goes away, and he's sad. It's amazing. In John chapter 4, a woman has no friends, and she's searching for hope. Jesus invites her to receive hope, and she receives the hope, and she goes and she gets an entire village. A Samaritan woman brings them back, and the Bible says that she had joy. Why? Because she allowed Jesus to be her hope. John chapter 7 and John chapter 8, there's a woman that's taken in adultery, and people are accusing, and they want to go ahead and stone, and Jesus invites her to go ahead and take him as hope, and what happens? She leaves and she has hope, and Jesus says, go and sin no more. And her life is forever changed because she began to reimagine hope in her life from being another person to being the Savior, Jesus Christ. The very chapter after the rich young ruler, there's a guy by the name of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is a tax collector. He's a publican. He's the dirtbag of his day. And Jesus comes to town, and Zacchaeus has heard something about him, and Zacchaeus says, I want to know more about him. And Jesus walks by, and he sees Zacchaeus, and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to lunch at your house today. And all the people that have gathered around and heard that were astonished, and they were kind of ticked off because Jesus was going to spend time with this guy named Zacchaeus, who in their mind was a loser and Jesus shouldn't have anything to do with. And Jesus went to his house, and he began to talk with Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus moved from being the thieving, dirtbag tax collector of his day to saying, you know what, Jesus, I believe that you're the answer. I'm going to go ahead and return what I've stolen. I'm going to take half my goods and give them to the poor, and I'm going to follow you. And Zacchaeus' life was changed because he got over himself and he turned to Jesus. Isn't it amazing? The rich young ruler had an encounter with Christ. He could have had the hope for heaven, and he could have had the hope for today. But he said, you know what? I'm going to hang on to my own goodness. I'm going to hang on to my own confidence. I'm going to hang on to my own wealth. And I'm going to walk away sad. Zacchaeus traded in what he had, and he had hope. The woman at the well traded in what she had and had hope. The woman taken in adultery traded in what she had, and she had hope. And it was all centered around Jesus. Today, if you're searching for hope, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, the answer is this: hope has a name, and it is Jesus. And that hope is not just for salvation. It's not just for the forgiveness of sins. That hope will help you turn from your own goodness on a daily basis. It will help you turn from your own confidence and confidence in yourself on a daily basis. It will help you turn from your own resources and what you have and what you can do. And it will help you reimagine hope, the hope that you need that is found in Christ alone. Would you pray with me? Father, we come to you today and we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the things that you've done. And God, today, there are people all across this room, all around the world that need hope. And that hope is you. Father, some need the hope of salvation, and I pray that if that's what's needed from anyone here today, that they would turn to you and experience that hope. Father, some today need the hope of life being put back together. It just seems like it's falling apart in one area or another. Lord, I pray that you would give that hope and help us to realize that hope is found in you. Father, I pray that as we go about our life, as we go about our day, you'll help us to remind people that the answer for life and the answer for hope is not to turn outward, it's not to turn inward, but it's to look upward to you and to realize that when we know you, we have hope for every situation. And Father, help us to let our hope hinge on you. Be with us in the remainder of this invitation and service time, for it's in Christ's name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, today, if you've never had the hope of Jesus and came to a place where you said, Jesus, I want you to be my hope. I want you to be my Savior. I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I want to ask you to give me the hope that only you can give. If you've never done that, but you would like to do that in just a moment, we're going to stand together. We're going to sing. And some will come forward. Maybe today you would like to come and find out more about following Jesus. Find out more what it means to trust him to be your Savior. If you want that today, I would encourage you, the moment we stand, just to step out and come. Maybe you're here today and you say, John, I know Jesus is my Savior, but quite honestly, I need some hope in areas of my life. I need to turn to him for that help. Maybe you need to come and pray today. Just ask him to be that hope, because he is your hope. If you'll just turn to him. Maybe you want to come and pray about other things that are going on in your life that we haven't even talked about today. Whatever it might be, just let God have his way in your heart and in your life. Would you stand with me, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed?